good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is Wednesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time, and our preaching is from the United States by Sister Mary Jeremiah Gillette, a contemplative nun in Lufkin, Texas, who teaches in their formation program. Her preaching today is entitled, Never Let Go of Christ.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The Gospel of the Lord. This passage from Matthew is filled with riches. The basic theme is faith or unbelief. We should always be grateful for the gift of faith that we have received at baptism and, as best as we can, help it to grow and increase, because otherwise it will be lost. Père Lagrange, a great Dominican who founded the École Biblique in Jerusalem, said of today and tomorrow's gospel, which are really one piece, that this is Matthew's pearl of great price. And the key verse, the core of it, is verse 27. Most translations have Jesus begin by saying, I thank you, or I praise you, or I confess you, Father. But there's another interpretation that could be used, and is perhaps the reason behind his thanking and praising and confessing the Father in such a burst of joy. And it's the text, the idea, I fully agree with you. Jesus and the Father are of the same mind. They're thinking the same thing. So we see that the first sentence and the last sentence go together. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. While on the surface, this pericope contrasts the wise and clever or learned with the simple-hearted and little ones, I think at a deeper level, it is a profound revelation of Jesus' divinity and a hint of the Trinitarian life of the one God. Thus, as I said, the first sentence ties in perfectly with the last sentence. No one can know the Son except the Father reveal him, and no one can know the Father except the Son reveal him. No one can know God or that he is Father except through Jesus' revelation. And no one can know that Jesus is the Son and divine God except by the gift of the Father. This is a powerful revelation. It's the core of our Christian faith. But how can we acquire this knowledge? Not a knowledge of not only of the mind, but of the heart and intimacy. A few ways would be by praying, by asking God to reveal himself to us, by spending time with the one we love and know loves us, as St. Teresa of Avila says. Another way is by obeying his will and his commandments, doing what he asks us. We begin to know what he thinks about something. We begin to think with him. And another way is by desire, by wanting to know God. We have to encourage ourselves and others to want to know and love God. Thomas Aquinas says that prayer is the interpreter of desire. So again, praying, desiring, obeying. Then we come to know who God is. Jesus is making his greatest claim in this passage. He's saying, hey, look at me. I'm one with the Father. Or you could say he's saying, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know the mind and heart and nature of God, if you want to see God's whole attitude, look at me. We read in John, he in the Last Supper, he who has seen me has seen the Father. It's a Christian conviction that in Jesus Christ alone, we can see, actually see, what God is like. It is also another Christian conviction that Jesus can give that knowledge to anyone who is humble enough, trusting enough, and docile enough to receive it. As the old hymn says in one of its verses, the hymn is, blessed are the pure of heart. Still to the lowly soul he doth himself impart, and for his dwelling and his throne chooseth the pure in heart. Amen.